Penny and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Elizabeth wandered into the Great Hall, hoping she might find Solange. Solange was only too happy to talk about her new favorite topic, wedding planning, and it might prove to be a distraction. She was surprised to find Teddy flopped disconsolately on the floor in front of the fire, coloring a picture. She didn't have to see his face to know his mood. His hair was a very dull, muddy brown. She'd done such a good job of avoiding him, thought Elizabeth, that he probably didn't even know she existed. But he looked much too small and forlorn to resist. "Are you coloring with Muggle crayons?" she asked politely as she sat on the couch beside him. Teddy sat up and flashed her a brilliant smile. His hair was a warmer shade of brown already.
"Yes, I got them for school. I'll draw you a dragon." "Well, I would love that," she replied truthfully, and his hair burst into purple. "Will you color with me?"
He seemed quite excited at this prospect.
"Yes, I can't color very well, though."
Teddy sat up, and she sat on the floor beside him. He put his box of 64 Crayolas and several sheets of paper on the coffee table between them.
"That's okay. I'm really lonesome."
He offered this up with such unself-consciousness that Elizabeth felt tears come into her eyes. Why isn't it that easy for grown-ups like me? She'd never felt as lonely in her life as she had the past 4 weeks, not knowing whether her son was dead or alive, worrying about Lupin, and she would have loved to talk to anyone about it. Whenever she started to get her courage up, however, she lost it. Solange was so happy about her upcoming wedding, she couldn't bear to upset her, and everyone else was quite busy with their own activities. Her mother was still infuriated about the Valentine's Ball incident and made nasty comments whenever she was in the vicinity. Her father stomped about muttering sourly that he hoped Lupin would never return. Loretta was crazy, and she hadn't seen Rosie much either. She spent her days in her recording studio and her evenings with her boyfriend.
"Well, I'm rather lonesome too,"
she surprised herself by telling Teddy.
"So you can come and visit me when you feel that way."
She's quite stunned when Teddy's hair turned a vivid pink. He flung down his crayons and gave her a hug. "Don't cry," she told herself fiercely. "Don't." She was always wanting to burst into tears lately. It was most embarrassing.
"Good. I thought you didn't like me, but my dad said that wasn't so. He said sometimes you are shy."
"Maybe he's right," she smiled down at him. "I'm sorry if you thought I didn't like you. Well, I just... Well, there was a little boy once that I was very fond of, and he died. You rather remind me of him, and I guess it made me a little sad when I first saw you."
Teddy nodded. This was perfectly reasonable to him.
"That's okay. Sometimes I get sad when I see people with their moms."
He handed her his picture as if presenting an object of inestimable value.
"Here, you can hang it up on your wall."
"How did you get the Muggle crayons?"
Teddy looked up at her and grinned conspiratorially. He definitely has Lupin's eyes, she thought, even the long eyelashes.
"My dad and I had to go to the mall. It was horrible and awful and terrible."
She stifled a giggle.
"Why was it so awful to go to the mall?"
"My dad was really embarrassed. I had a list from school, see? And he said he didn't know what half that shit was. That's what he said. He said his school list wasn't anything like that."
"I'm sure it wasn't," she smiled. "So what happened at the mall?"
"It was dreadful," he announced with delight. "First, the security tried to arrest my dad because he thought he looked really weird. Dad said maybe he shouldn't have worn his cloak. And then, after Dad confounded him, we didn't know where anything was. We followed some other ladies with kids because Dad said they would probably be school shopping too. But I guess he looked really stupid because all the ladies were trying to help him."
"I'm sure," thought Elizabeth sourly. She could just picture Lupin with his embarrassed grin and his long, dark blonde hair falling in his eyes, surrounded by a dozen interested single mothers.
"Finally, this one lady took the list, and she said she'd just show us what everything was. She was really bossy, but we were glad. She showed us what Muggle crayons were and Elmer glue. She knew everything about glue."
Elizabeth ducked her head and restrained another giggle.
"Well, at least you got all your school stuff."
Teddy frowned.
"I did, but then she would never go away. She wrote down all these numbers on a piece of paper, and we thought maybe it was a secret code or something. And then we showed it to Quentin, and he laughed a whole lot, and he almost fell out of his chair and said it was her phone number. And my dad got really mad at him for laughing and told him to shut up."
He smiled with satisfaction.
"Usually Quentin tells him to shut up."
"Quentin tells everyone to shut up,"
Elizabeth couldn't help remarking, and Teddy fell over on the floor and squealed with glee.
"I really like like you a lot. My dad said he hadn't a muggle phone, and that's why Quentin gave him the smell phone.
Elizabeth smiled. It's a cell phone, Teddy. But he didn't bother to learn to use it, did he? He mustn't have wanted to call her too badly.
No, he didn't want to call her. I heard him tell Quentin she had skinny legs and a big chin, and she was really slutty.
He beamed with delight.
I asked him what slutty meant, and he said I shouldn't be listening at doors.
Well, you shouldn't, Elizabeth tried to look stern. Teddy ignored this and began coloring again. Elizabeth took up her crayons and started sketching a castle.
Is that Hogwarts?
I guess it is. It's just meant to be a castle. Have you been to Hogwarts?
Lots of times.
Kenny wandered in and flopped down on the floor beside Teddy.
Cool dragon, dude,
he told him as he picked up the picture. Elizabeth smiled at him and immediately regretted it. She should have known he would take it the wrong way.
Hey, Elizabeth, you want to, like, do it with me?
He leapt to his feet and eyed her green sweater with great interest.
No. Can you ever learn to be appropriate?
Guess not.
He flopped back down and looked sullen.
Don't hurt to ask, though.
You can't just ask someone to shag you,
Teddy told him sternly. Ha, thought Elizabeth sourly. The 6-year-old is teaching him manners.
I know all about shagging now. I made my dad tell me everything after the Valentine's ball.
Elizabeth blushed, but he appeared not to notice this.
Oh, what do you know, dude? Mumbled Kenny. Your dad probably never shagged anybody in his whole life.
Now Elizabeth was really blushing. Luckily for her, Kenny was too stoned and Teddy too young to pay any attention.
Yes, he has,
Teddy was indignant.
He had to shag my mom, didn't he? Or I wouldn't even be born.
Kenny thought about this for a few minutes.
Well, yeah,
he finally decided.
I guess that's true. She's probably the only one, though, man. He is one weird fucker.
Kenny,
Elizabeth put down her crayons, don't use that word in front of Teddy. And who are you to call anybody weird? Elizabeth was horrified when Kenny chose this moment to have a brief interlude of clarity visit his otherwise befuddled brain.
I know why you're sticking up for him, dude. It's because you were shagging him at that party, man. Henry told me, dude.
I was not,
screeched Elizabeth, and Teddy jumped up to his feet.
Don't you dare say that,
shouted Teddy, and Elizabeth was briefly reminded of Lupin vociferously coming to her defense at the breakfast table.
It's really rude and embarrassing to her, and they didn't shag anyway. My dad told me.
It's because nobody would leave us alone, thought Elizabeth irritably.
All right, dude. You need to mellow out, man. Don't you have some of your dad's chocolate or something?
Teddy frowned.
I'm not allowed to eat it without permission.
Kenny started cackling.
Who cares, dude? He's not here, is he?
Kenny, Teddy still has to follow his father's rules, whether he's there or not.
Despite his proclamation, Elizabeth could tell Teddy was thinking about it.
Well, sometimes he lets me have it.
He looked up at Elizabeth as if for reinforcement.
When does he let you have it?
If I have a bad dream, I'm really scared. And once when everyone in my old school made fun of me because my mum was dead. And one time we were going to visit my grandmother and some Dementors chased us. He let me have 3 pieces then.
Dementors? Elizabeth was horrified.
Are they still around?
Of course they are,
Teddy shrugged.
They don't like my dad. We took a train to visit my grandma, and that's where they got after us. He said we should have used flu powder.
That sucks, dude.
Even Kenny was impressed.
Were they all, like, black and scary and shit, like in the movies?
Yeah, they make you feel like you're going to die. They have hoods and you can't look at them, but you can tell they're looking at you.
Elizabeth shivered and even Kenny started to look frightened.
There was a lot of them, too, but my dad sent his Patronus after them and then they left.
What does his Patronus look like?
Elizabeth blurted out.
It's a seagull.
Teddy looked disgusted.
I told him he should have something cool like a wolf like William. Or a bear. Or a lion. But he said that doesn't matter. It's from your best memory and his was by the sea. But he wouldn't tell me what happened by the sea.
He was probably reading a book, dude. Kenny told him sulkily. That's probably his favorite memory. When he first read a book.
He isn't as boring as you think, Kenny. Elizabeth couldn't help smiling.
I doubt it, dude. He's weird and boring,
Kenny yawned. Where's Tim? He asked Teddy. Teddy frowned.
He's reading some boring book about the 100 greatest witches and wizards of the last 3,000 years. My dad's number 5, and I think he should at least be number 3. T- Tim thinks he's going to find out who the great wizard and his family is.
Elizabeth frowned. She'd had quite the same suspicions as Solange and Quentin, and she adored her nephew, bratty as he might be at times. At dinner that night, Solange was talking incessantly about wedding invitations. Quentin appeared bored and disgusted, and Teddy kept beaming and jumping up and down. Elizabeth had the distinct feeling he was plotting something.
"Have you heard from Lupin?" Quentin asked her abruptly.
"Were you asking her?"
William burst in.
"No, I haven't heard from him,"
she replied quietly, and Quentin frowned. It's odd, thought Elizabeth. He seemed to be the only person who was somewhat aware of how she felt. He hadn't even shouted at her in the last few weeks. It was becoming rather disconcerting.
"He can't send messages from the forest," William snapped angrily, as if they all should have known this. "It's covered by like a million impenetrable charms Dumbledore put on it, to keep all that creepy shit in there. I don't know why he went in there. If he got hurt or something, he wouldn't be able to send an owl or a Patronus, even one of his stupid notes. He'd just be trapped there forever."
Elizabeth was so horrified she almost burst into tears, but restrained herself when she saw Quentin glance at her out of the corner of his eye.
"Thank you, Sybil Trelawney," he told William very shortly. "Lupin spent half of his school years in that forest, something Dumbledore was well aware of. Do you think he wouldn't have come up with a way for him to send help if he needed it?"
"I guess that's true," mumbled William, but he looked a bit relieved. "I was thinking of going to Hogwarts anyway and talking to Hagrid. He goes in the forest, you know. Might have heard something or seen him."
"I want to go with you," shrieked Teddy, Timothy, and Kenny all at the same time. William looked thoroughly disgusted.
"None of you's going with me, especially you, Kenny. What would you want to go to Hogwarts?"
"It's cool, dude," Kenny was beaming broadly. "It's like totally awesome, man. I saw it in the movies, dude. I want to see the giant spiders."
"No, you don't," replied William immediately and shuddered.
"Have you seen them?"
Everyone at the table was interested in this.
"Yeah, I went in the forest once with Remus, just a little way in. That was all he'd take me. He said not to worry, and spiders were scared of him. It's the wolf thing, they can sense it. And he was right. There were a whole group of them, and they all ran off. But they were about 10 feet tall. It was the creepiest thing ever."
He grimaced horribly. Everyone was listening with appreciative interest, especially Rosie, and since William rarely had the attention of the entire table, he found he had to continue.
"And Remus got pissed off and said, 'It's just me!' And then one of them turned around and came back!"
Now everyone actually had looks of gaping horror. William found this quite enjoyable indeed.
"It was one of the biggest ones, too. It was like 12 feet tall!" He shuddered again. "Ron would have shit himself, I'll tell you that. And Remus stands there and starts talking to this motherfucker,"
Quentin started laughing,
"for like 10 minutes about how his family was and shit like that."
William was pleased when the rest of the table all broke out laughing as well.
"I told you he was weird, dude,"
Kenny announced to Elizabeth with satisfaction.
"He's used to them," Elizabeth replied stubbornly. "He's been around them since he was 11 years old."
Quentin grinned at her.
"Stop grinning at me,"
snapped Elizabeth.
"You look like the Cheshire Cat when you do that."
"I was thinking," said Quentin in his affronted tone, "that it was rather nice of you to take up for Lupin, seeing he's not here to stun everyone into submission."
He grinned at her again, and Elizabeth gave him a sour look. Kenny and Teddy were whispering between themselves. Elizabeth turned and gave Kenny a threatening glance. She was quite sure Lupin wouldn't want Teddy plotting anything with him.
"Quit looking at me like that, dude,"
Kenny muttered in an injured tone.
"We're not going to do anything, man." "No, we're not going to do anything,"
Teddy burst out quickly. This did not relieve Elizabeth at all, especially when his hair turned a bright neon green.
"Get up,"
Teddy poked Kenny with his foot.
"Get up, you are so lazy. It's 10 o'clock.
Kenny moaned and rolled over on the floor. He had passed out in front of the fire in the great room.
"Why are you in school, dude?"
he mumbled irritably.
"It's my spring holidays. I told you that yesterday. Can't you remember anything?"
"No."
"Well, that's because you take too many drugs. My dad told me."
"Yeah, well, your dad's a fucking weirdo."
Teddy jumped on Kenny and started punching him. Kenny just sighed and pushed him away.
"All right, man. What now? What do you want, dude?"
"We're going to go to Hogwarts today, remember? We planned it all out yesterday."
Oh, yeah.
Kenny obviously didn't, but he brightened.
"Cool, dude. I want to go see the castle and the forest and the giant spiders."
"I want to go find my dad,"
Teddy replied stubbornly.
"That's what we're going to do. Now get up."
He gave Kenny a kick. A few moments later, Kenny was standing in front of Lupin's fireplace with a very recalcitrant expression.
I'm not getting in there, dude. You're fucking crazy. It'll burn us up.
It will not. It's a non-flammable fire. It's a flue network. Don't you know anything?
I know fire burns your ass, man, shrieked Kenny, obviously remembering some incident from his checkered past.
Teddy sighed, dragged a chair over to the cabinet above the sofa, and stretched his hand up.
I can't reach it. Put me up on your shoulders, Kenny. Put it too far back.
Kenny was too interested not to do as he was told, and was rewarded when Teddy pulled out a bag of chocolate.
Cool, dude. Awesome. I always wanted some of that chocolate. I know that's got some good shit in it.
He immediately snatched up a piece.
Well, it's so you'll stop being scared to get in the fireplace, Teddy told him stubbornly. Keep eating it till you feel better, he added.
After his third piece, Kenny was grinning broadly.
Cool, dude. This is some good shit, man. Totally awesome shit. Let's get in the fireplace, dude.
Teddy smiled knowingly, snatched up some green flue powder, and flung it into the fireplace.
Hogwarts!
He shouted, and grabbing Kenny's hand, pulled him behind.
Damn!
Kenny was standing in complete bewilderment in front of the castle gates.
Damn! This is some good fucking shit! It's like we're really at that castle, dude!
We are at the castle, Teddy told him impatiently. I told you I've been here a million times. Now don't embarrass me.
Oh, shut up, dude, mumbled Kenny.
Teddy strode forward and knocked on the gates.
Teddy Lupin,
he announced loudly. You're quite welcome here, Teddy, the disembodied female voice told him warmly. Have you an adult with you?
Of course I do,
Teddy responded argumentatively.
Let us in.
What's the magic word?
Please.
The gates swung open, and Teddy and Kenny trotted happily inside.
Quit saying that, snapped Teddy,
after Kenny had announced, Cool, dude, for at least the 75th time. They were wandering about the empty corridors of Hogwarts. Class was obviously in session, although now and then a ghost drifted lazily above them.
Hi, Nick!
Teddy stopped and waved at nearly headless Nick, who had sailed above them, apparently half asleep. He came to a halt and opened his eyes.
Hello, Teddy, Nick beamed at him. Haven't seen you for a while. It's been a dreadfully dull day. Sir Cadogan's even gone to sleep. Haven't even seen Peeves. Are you really dead, man?
Kenny blurted out, staring at Nick with a fascinated expression.
Well, as if one must be reminded at every opportunity.
Clearly affronted, he attempted to right his wobbling head and zoomed off.
He doesn't like you to mention it,
Teddy hissed.
Haven't you read the books? I want to see the fat lady.
Teddy sighed, and they took off for the Gryffindor common room. The fat lady was painting her toenails pink, with some difficulty, and looking bored.
Hello, Teddy, she smiled at him. Do you like this shade of pink?
Sure,
Teddy mumbled.
Can we come in?
Password?
Teddy frowned for a moment.
Toenails?
No.
Pink? No. Well, I don't know the password.
The fat lady ignored them both and put cotton balls between her plump toes.
Hey!
Kenny shouted, and the fat lady looked startled.
Can you, like, turn around in that painting, dude?
Of course I can!
Affronted, she stood, turned around, and resumed her former position. Kenny was beaming happily. Teddy just shook his head sadly.
You shouldn't have done that,
he informed her with a gloomy voice.
He just wanted to see your ass. He loves chicks with fat asses. He says it all the time.
Oh! Ah!
The fat lady was so incensed, she threw down her nail polish with a shriek and blundered out of her portrait.
Why'd you tell her that, dude? Huh? Huh? What's wrong with you?
She liked me, dude. She might have shagged me.
You can't shag someone who's in a painting,
Teddy stomped his foot.
You are the dumbest muggle that ever lived.
I am not,
shrieked Kenny so loudly the other paintings began murmuring in protest.
I know all about magic stuff, dude.
Oh, yeah? Then why did you dress up from the wrong books?
Teddy shouted back, his hair flashing to a threatening black.
I say, who is this dastardly felon who disturbs our slumber?
Sir Cadogan had ridden up on his pony into the fat lady's empty painting.
On guard, scurvy cur! Fight like a man!
Kenny looked a bit alarmed at the knight and backed hastily away. Teddy burst out laughing.
You're scared of Sir Cadogan,
Teddy told him scornfully.
Nobody's scared of him.
There are many, many who live in fear of my lance, yelled Sir Cadogan angrily. I'll dash you to pieces, you young roustabout.
Let's get away from him, dude,
hissed Kenny, and Teddy laughed even harder.
He can't get out of the painting.
acting! Don't you get it? He can't do anything! My dad said he used to always threaten to run him through, and Sirius would say, run through this, and yank out his, well, he might get out!
Kenny shrieked frantically. Sir Cadogan waved his lance threateningly, and came as close as possible to the edge of the painting. Kenny let out another shriek.
Scaredy, scaredy, Nancy Boyle, get the muggle wet to die!
Peeves, attracted by the loud shouting, was zooming above them blowing raspberries. He stopped and turned around in delight.
Loony, loony, Lupin!
He shrieked happily.
Hello, Peeves!
Teddy beamed at him. Apparently, this was an affectionate greeting. Kenny looked from Peeves to Sir Cadogan again, as if he didn't know which one of the two posed a greater threat.
Oh, come on, Kenny! Peeves won't bother us! He likes anybody who likes mischief! I solemnly swear I opt to no good!
Peeves zoomed in a few circles around them, stopped in front of Sir Cadogan's portrait, and blew a loud raspberry.
Fight like a spirit, you cowardly poltergeist! Roared Sir Cadogan. Come in this portrait for 5 minutes and I'll have you disemboweled!
Peeves zoomed into the portrait. Sir Cadogan screeched in horror, jumped up on his horse, and thundered off through the row of portraits, the inhabitants all angrily shouting about their naps being disturbed. Teddy clapped his hands in delight.
Go get him, Peeves! He yelled happily.
What have you done to Felch lately?
Peeves came out and zipped happily around their legs.
Put him up on top of the astronomy tower,
he said.
He hates heights. He's up there blubbering like a baby. Don't tell, McGonagall won't like it.
He floated away. Kenny looked at the empty fat lady painting again.
Hey, she's gone. Can we get in now?
Yeah.
Teddy was delighted, and the two of them climbed into the common room.
Cool, dude.
Kenny was wandering around and pulled out a joint.
Where's the dorms, dude?
Well, you can't smoke in this castle! It's forbidden!
Shrieked Teddy angrily. Kenny just ignored him and kept on puffing.
Try some, man. It'll totally chill you out.
Teddy looked askance for a moment, but apparently emboldened by the sight of Peeves and memories of mischief, snatched it up and took a long draught. He immediately fell over in a fit of coughing.
I think the dorms are up these steps,
he mumbled, looking a bit dazed. Kenny obediently followed Teddy into one of the dorm rooms with its five high-poster canopied red velvet curtained beds.
This is the room my dad was in. Him and Sirius and James and Peter and Sturgis.
Teddy seemed to find this very funny, and Kenny handed him the joint again. He took another drag, coughed some more, and his hair sported multicolored neon stripes. Kenny began cackling loudly.
Sturgis? What kind of a boner name is that?
What's a boner?
Kenny sat on the floor and laughed louder.
Oh, come on, let's go before somebody comes in here and tells on us.
Let's go see the girls' dorms. I want to see some underwear and stuff.
No, you can't. Remember the staircase makes you slide back down.
You're no fun at all, dude.
Here, smoke some more. Kenny stomped back into the common room.
I want to see that girl who lives in the toilet.
Myrtle?
Teddy was horrified.
No, you don't. She moans and whines more than Loretta does.
That's impossible, dude, Kenny replied stubbornly. Nobody's whinier than Loretta.
I'll prove it to you,
shrieked Kenny, and pulled him off down the hall. Kenny, smiling to himself, thought that for once he had gotten one over on somebody else.
Myrtle,
called Teddy as they pushed their way inside the girls' bathroom at the end of a long, desolate corridor.
Myrtle, I've got someone who wants to meet you.
Meet me? Meet me?
Myrtle swooped forward from underneath the stall and hovered in the air above them, staring quite rudely through her thick black glasses.
Why would anyone want to meet me? I'm just dead, aren't I? No one ever cared about meeting me when I was alive. Why would they want to meet me now that I'm just a dead girl that lives in a toilet?
Wailing loudly, she disappeared back under the stall.
Damn, dude, Kenny was impressed. You're right. You sure they aren't related or something?
Nah, my dad looked it up once,
Teddy giggled. Apparently the joint was taking effect.
Can ghosts get laid?
Teddy stopped giggling and looked shocked.
That is disgusting! You want to shag Myrtle?
Sure, Kenny shrugged. I bet she never gets any with all that whining. She probably won't even care if my dick smells like pee.
She probably can't even smell! Why would you talk about what your dick smells like? That is not appropriate! You need to write some sentences!
Kenny scowled recalcitrantly.
You are one boring kid, man. You might as well just go, dude. Hey, she's not coming back up out of that toilet.
He stomped disgustedly out the door.
"That is enough of the castle,"
Teddy stomped his foot.
"I told you we're going to the forest. That's where my dad is. Do you want to see the giant spiders?"
"Yeah, dude, definitely."
Teddy knew better than to cut directly across the lawn, where he could easily be seen from any castle window. They walked casually around the garden path and past Hagrid's hut. Much to Teddy's displeasure, Hagrid came hurrying out to greet them.
"Hello, Teddy! What are you up to, then?"
He was carrying a large yellow squid-like creature that appeared to have at least 300 eyes. Teddy made a face at it, but Kenny tried to give it a poke.
"Stop it, you bloomin' idiot!"
snapped Hagrid as the creature wrapped one of its tentacles around Kenny's fingers.
"You can't be poking at a horn-tailed Mongolian squid! They don't like it, you know!"
Kenny began howling in pain and trying to shake off the tentacle.
"Let him loose!" growled Hagrid, and the creature reluctantly did so. "What are you doing here, Teddy? Never seen your hair striped like that!"
He glared at him suspiciously.
"Just visiting," replied Teddy stubbornly.
"Visiting, eh? When you be trying to find your dad in the forest, are you?"
"No, I'm not,"
Teddy replied with a rather good, affronted Quentin imitation.
"Huh," Hagrid peered at him suspiciously. "Don't believe a word of it. Your dad was always telling me stories about how he wasn't going in the forest, and I'd be turning around and he'd be gone off in there."
"We're just visiting the castle. Kenny wanted to meet Myrtle."
"I did want to meet her, dude. I figured I could get some," Kenny beamed.
Hagrid gave him a revolted look.
"What the bloody hell's wrong with you? Wanted to shag a ghost? You better come with me, Teddy. I don't think your dad would want you hanging around this bloke."
"Sure he would."
"Well, I'll be the judge of that."
Hagrid stubbornly picked Kenny and Teddy up, each under one arm, and stomped off towards the castle, ignoring their howls of protest.
"Lemony whirly drops!"
shouted Hagrid into the stone gargoyle.
"I've told you 1,000 times, Hagrid. There's no need to shout into it," came McGonagall's irritated voice, and the doors swung open.
Hagrid huffed his way up the stairs with his two prisoners pinned beneath his arms. She looked up from her desk with mild astonishment and took off her glasses.
"Teddy Lupin," she intoned sternly, quite ignoring Kenny. "What are you doing here with this person?"
"We're visiting the castle. He wanted to see it."
McGonagall seemed to have taken measure of Kenny with one glance.
"He isn't someone your father would want watching you," she told him firmly. "I'll have Hagrid take you home."
"I don't want to go home."
"That is where you are going, young man," she intoned sternly, and looked suspiciously at his hair herself. "We'll be back shortly. I've some business to attend to. Professor Flitwick's got himself stuck inside his desk drawer."
She and Hagrid walked out together, and Teddy heard the door click behind them.
"She's locked us in," he pronounced gloomily. "I'm going to be in big trouble when my dad finds out about this."
"Certainly," snapped a voice from above Teddy's head. He looked up at the portrait of Snape and let out a shriek of fright.
"Stop that dreadful noise," yawned Snape. "You'll need more courage than that if you want to be in Gryffindor."
"I will be in Gryffindor. My dad was a Gryffindor."
"Yes, he wouldn't have made that dreadful noise simply because a portrait spoke to him," Snape scowled.
"Aren't you dead, dude?"
Kenny stared at him in astonishment. Snape closed his eyes. He obviously found Kenny too tiresome to even bother with the response.
"Of course he's dead. That's where the dead headmaster portraits go. See? There's Dumbledore!"
And indeed, Dumbledore had come rambling into his portrait, looking as usual, as if he had just come upon a delightful surprise.
"How are you, Teddy? My, that's an interesting look for your hair."
"Terrible,"
Teddy sulked.
"I'm going to get in big trouble, and Professor Snape says I'm a coward."
"I did not say that," Snape replied silkily. "Young people misinterpret everything one says."
"You did,"
wailed Teddy, and Snape, obviously disgusted, strode haughtily out of his portrait.
"Why is he bothering me anyway?"
Teddy turned to Dumbledore and sulked.
"He's saving your life, of course," Dumbledore beamed at him. "He went straight away to Hagrid, so he'd think of going out of his hut and find you two. You wouldn't have lasted half an hour in that forest."
"I don't want to die, dude! I don't want to die! I don't want to die!"
Dumbledore smiled kindly at Kenny, which did nothing to stop him from repeatedly wailing.
"Well, we won't go then. We can go to Hogsmeade. That'll be fun."
Kenny gave Kenny a rather glassy-eyed smile.
"You know, where the joke shop is and the Hog's Head Inn and stuff."
"You mean where that weird dude with the goats is the bartender?"
"That's his brother, Kenny,"
shouted Teddy.
Oh, sorry, dude, Kenny mumbled to Dumbledore.
Dumbledore merely smiled at him, as if he were quite entertaining indeed.
Quite all right, quite all right. Always was a bit odd myself. At least that's what Minerva tells me. Knitting patterns, socks, he chuckled to himself. Send Aberforth my best, will you, Teddy?
Sure I will, if you tell me how to get out.
Dumbledore seemed to be thinking this over.
Do you give me your word you won't go into the forest?
He peered at him intently with his bright blue eyes.
Yes, sir,
Teddy replied immediately.
All right, then. Yellow and pink striped knee socks, he announced cheerfully, and they heard the door unlock with a click.
Thanks, Professor Dumbledore!
Teddy raced out of the room, and Kenny followed behind.
Quick, let's go see the giant spiders,
he hissed as they hurried down the stairs.
No! I gave him my word! You can't go back on your word!
Who says that?
My dad. Don't say anything about him being boring or I'm not taking you to Hogsmeade with him. And there's lots of girls there,
he added, well aware of Kenny's main interest in life.
Maybe one of them will shag you.
Cool, dude. Let's go.
Teddy, who was quite familiar with the Marauder's map, immediately hurried to the statue of the humpbacked witch on the third floor.
Cool, dude.
Kenny was amazed when the long and dusty passageway finally emerged into a trapdoor that led directly into the back room of Honey Duke's. They were both coughing from the dust and the joint that Kenny had been passing back and forth between them.
Come on, let's go!
They waited until an enormous crowd of chubby, shrieking children burst into the shop and pushed their way out onto the street.
Let's go to the Three Broomsticks, have some butterbeer and food and stuff. I'm starving!
Sure, dude!
Kenny was happy with the sound of butterbeer and trotted through the door after Teddy, who went straight to his usual booth.
Hello, Teddy.
Madame Rosemurta favored him with a smile. Her scoop-necked scalloped frock showed a generous amount of bosom, as always, and she seemed as pretty as ever with her curly gold hair and sensual air.
Interesting hair. What would you like?
Two butterbeers, please,
Teddy announced with a bit of a stoned grin and pulled a few newts from his pocket.
She is totally hot, dude!
Kenny watched her firm and curvy behind as she walked away from the table. Even her walk was sexy.
She has one fat ass, man! You think she'll shag me?
I think she'll turn you into a toad!
Grinned Teddy. I'll take him home in my pocket, he thought, and feed him to Tim's cat, Charlie.
She will not, dude!
Madame Rosemurta reappeared with the butterbeer, and Kenny gave her some sort of desperate leer and wink, which apparently was meant to be enticing.
You're really hot, and you have one fat ass. You want to shag me?
Teddy spluttered on his butterbeer.
He's a muggle, he told Madame Rosemurta. You better not kill him. Maybe you could just turn him into a toad, he added hopefully.
What are you doing with this person, Teddy? Where's your father?
In the forest.
You're lucky you're a muggle, she shouted at Kenny, or you'd be a three-headed salamander right now.
She unceremoniously dumped his butterbeer on top of his head.
Don't think you won't be paying for that beer either.
Teddy looked so depressed and sodden with beer, Teddy felt a bit sorry for him.
Don't feel bad, Kenny,
he said kindly, forgetting he'd wanted to feed him to Charlie a few minutes ago.
My dad and Ron think she's hot, too. I heard them talking about it. Ron said if he wasn't married,
who cares about that dude, Kenny blurted out irritably. They never shagged her, did they?
Well, Ron didn't. I asked my dad if he ever shagged her, and he wouldn't answer me.
This made Kenny more irritable than ever.
That means he did, dude. She has no taste, man. She could have had me.
Hey!
Teddy thought of something he knew would cheer Kenny greatly.
Let's go to Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes. They have those enchanted lollipops that make girls want to shag you.
Awesome, man! Kenny jumped to his feet. Hurry up!
May I help you?
A cheery-faced young witch wearing a bright red smock greeted Kenny and Teddy as they ambled through the door. Kenny was already beaming as he inspected all the merchandise.
Where's George? Do you know Mr. Weasley?
Mean Arthur?
Teddy was puzzled, but the girl smiled. She had apparently realized who he was and went off in search of George. Kenny was hastily scanning the aisles and stuffing things in his pockets.
Love potion, 10-minute daydream of your choice. Here they are, leaping licorice lust lollipops.
Won't do you any good to steal them, George told him cheerfully. He'd just come up behind him. Got the door enchanted. Pulls a bucket of ice water on anybody who leaves the unpaid stuff. Then the troll goes after you.
Kenny stared at him in horror.
Well, I'm going to pay for it, dude. I promise!
He shouted desperately and started pulling items out of his pocket.
Teddy, you have any money?
Teddy frowned at him.
I'll buy you one lollipop and that's all.
Go ahead and take one. It's on the house. George waved at them. I owe your dad anyway. He's the coolest.
Kenny looked quite shocked at this.
Are you talking about Lupin? He is so boring, dude.
George burst out laughing. You're the one that dressed up from the wrong books, aren't you?
Shut up, man,
Kenny mumbled. You don't know anything about Lupin. He gave me and my brother the map and helped us pull loads of pranks on Mum and Snape and Sirius while we were all living at Grim Old Place.
Really?
Teddy was predictably interested in any mischief.
What'd you do?
He put this hex on Sirius, so whenever he was more than 4 feet away from Mum, he'd get these boils on his face. So he had to keep following Mum around, and it made her so mad she threw a pot of hot soup on him. And then he had boils on his face anyway, George hooted with laughter. He was so mad, he started yelling, I'll fucking kill you, Mooney, and he chased around the kitchen table like 20 times and hit him over the head with a bottle of fire whiskey. It was great.
I think I know why we moved to the mansion,
Teddy mused.
It's just the same there. What'd he do to Snape?
He put these yellow feathers all over his black cape, and we enchanted it so Snape couldn't see it. He looked just like this big partridge, and everybody would fall over laughing when he came in the room, but he didn't know why. Finally, my dad started whistling the tune to some Muggle TV show he likes called The Partridge Family, and Snape figured it out. Of course, he blamed me and tried to stun me, and Mom hit him with a broomstick. George grinned at them. Here, take another lollipop. I forgot about that one. But the best one was when Mum kept nagging Lupin about hooking up with Tonks, how she should marry her and stuff. He turned all her Celestina Warbucks records into some Muggle shit by John Denver. She thought it was me and Fleur, because Fleur hates those records. So she started screaming at us, and Lupin told her he did it. Then she smacked him over the head with a shoe about 12 times and yelled louder than Mrs. Black's portrait. She really wanted to play Cauldron of Love for Dad that night, I guess.
Ew!
Teddy wrinkled up his nose.
Maybe that's why my dad has headaches. Your mum's shoes have all these buckles and big giant heels.
Yeah, George shook his head in disgust. You don't have to tell me. But you're right, your dad was always getting hit over the head with stuff. Either it was his own fault because he was playing some prank on somebody, or he was trying to keep Sirius and Snape from killing each other, then they both go after him, or it was Tonks making things drop on his head when he didn't ask her out. It took him a while to figure out why that kept happening.
Can I have a 10-minute fantasy charm?
Teddy was easily distracted, especially in his semi-stone state. Sure, he smiled down at him. What's your fantasy going to be? Teddy started leaping around.
I want to be like you and Fred and have my own joke shop.
George blinked a few times. Well, you can come work with me when you're older, Teddy. You're kind of lonesome without Fred.
Okay!
Teddy was beaming, but Kenny had long since lost interest. He was following female customers around, trying to talk them into licking a lollipop. Hey, stop bothering my customers! Shouted George as Kenny accosted a middle-aged, large-assed witch with a cart full of shrieking children. Take that lollipop somewhere else! People that come in here know what it's for! Take it back to your house where the Muggles are! Kenny looked quite pleased at this thought and began musing on who might be the lucky recipient of the lollipop. He sat on the floor and started rolling out another joint while George showed Teddy his newest line of products. Chewing gum that caused the chewer to grow an extra head, bubble bath that sang lewd songs, and bootlaces that chirped, "Tie your boots, you stupid newt!" when they came undone.
Let's go, dude!
Kenny stumbled to his feet in a cloud of smoke. He was anxious to leave and start searching for possible lollipop victims. Teddy and Kenny headed off for Diagon Alley. Kenny was fascinated with the cauldron shop and the variety of sizes and colors in which they came.
Cool, dude! This was, like, really shiny, man!
He snatched up a large copper cauldron.
It's big, too, dude! I bet it would fit on my head!
Kenny, don't!
Teddy shouted ineffectually. Kenny had already stuck his head inside the cauldron.
Cool, man!
His voice echoed eerily inside the pot.
It's like all dark in here and shit.
He started tugging on it.
Dude, it won't come off.
Panicked, he began running about the shop. The customers turned and all burst out laughing at the sight of the cauldron-headed Muggle in his Reefer Madness t-shirt and jeans.
It's not funny. I'm gonna die, dude. I can't breathe, dude. I'm not breathing right now.
Of course you're breathing,
Teddy replied and started giggling again. He had picked up Kenny's discarded joint.
You're talking, aren't you? People who aren't breathing can't talk.
This apparently did not assuage Kenny's fear. He raced about the shop in circles screaming until the proprietor stomped out from the back.
Oh, for heaven's sake, you're paying for that cauldron,
shouted the tall, white-haired wizard with long orange robes. He pointed his wand at the cauldron and blasted it. It fell apart into pieces, and Kenny stood with a soot-covered face and a dazed expression.
"I'm deaf now, dude!" he shrieked. "I'm gonna sue your ass!"
"No, we're deaf from listening to you! Now get the bloody hell out of my store! I'm sending your father a bill, Teddy Lupin! I know who you are!"
"I should put a sign on you or something,"
Teddy stomped his foot at Kenny as they were unceremoniously pushed outside the door.
"Like, beware of Muggle! Cauldrons are really expensive! My dad's gonna be mad!"
"So what? Who knows if he's ever coming out of that forest? Let's go to that ice cream parlor, dude!"
Kenny sat down in the middle of the street and started bawling. Apparently, the marijuana was inducing more mood swings than usual.
"What's the matter, man? Hey, stop that bawling, dude! You're hurting my ears! My ears are already ringing, man!"
Teddy paid no attention whatsoever and cried harder. Kenny was startled when the oldest-looking person he'd ever seen came scurrying out of the crowd. He was still tall, but somewhat stooped, wore an old muddy brown cloak with a waistcoat, had a monocle dangling from his eye. His long silver hair hung down his back in plaits, one of them with a red ribbon tied on the end.
"Theodore, whatever is the matter?"
He stood and regarded Teddy very sternly, but Teddy leapt to his feet and threw his arms around the old man.
"Grandpa John! Dad's in the forest and he's never coming out!"
"What? What?"
The old man was obviously quite deaf.
"He says he's in the forest, dude!"
Kenny shouted helpfully into his ear.
"And he's never coming out!"
Teddy let out a shriek and began bawling louder than ever.
"Well, stop that awful noise. I never could stand whining children. Should be seen and not heard, you know."
Despite these words, the man peered down worriedly at Teddy.
"How old are you, dude?" Kenny burst out. "You're the oldest dude on the planet."
"I certainly am not,"
he drew himself up and adjusted his monocle.
"I'm 139 is all."
"That's your grandpa, dude?"
Kenny was amazed.
"Damn, dude! He's my great-great-great-grandfather!"
sniffed Teddy and blew his nose on Kenny's sleeve, something which did not appear to offend Kenny in the slightest.
"He's the one that's the cartographer."
"That isn't even a word, dude!"
shrieked Kenny angrily.
"It certainly is! What do they teach you young people in school today? Map maker! And why haven't I heard from your father in months?"
He swung about and glared down at Teddy. Teddy was apparently desperately searching for some appropriate response.
"We've been sort of busy. Well,
we moved."
"You moved? Remus didn't tell me that. I have 358 descendants, and he's the only one I like. You'd think he could at least send me an owl."
"You only like him because Mum gave him your name,"
sulked Teddy.
"And he doesn't even like it."
"Well, you don't think I was mocked at every opportunity myself? Build character!"
"What name, man?"
Kenny was becoming quite irritable indeed. He began kicking at the dirt.
"John. That's my dad's middle name. He hates it,"
added Teddy, giving the old man a frightful glare.
"Don't be turning your hair red and orange and green at me,"
shouted John.
"What's with all those blooming stripes on your head? He'll be hearing about this from me, I can tell you that."
"Maybe you should come round for dinner sometime,"
Teddy hastily interjected.
"We live at number 24 Elgin Crescent Drive in London."
"Excellent."
This, apparently, was just the right thing to say. The ancient wizard gave Teddy an approving pat on the shoulder.
"Man, Quinn's not gonna like that, dude," mumbled Kenny. "There's too many people there already."
"My dad's not gonna like it,"
whispered Teddy in a gloomy voice.
"He says Grandpa John makes him crazy."
"Is your father even squiring anyone about? When's he going to get married?"
"Never. He's told you he's done with all that. Why can't you just let it go?"
The last sentence was so obviously a direct quote from Lupin's mouth that even Kenny burst out laughing.
"Well, I'll be showing up for dinner and you can tell him we are having a talk,"
John replied threateningly. Teddy sighed.
"How are we going to get rid of him, dude?"
Kenny blurted out rudely. "He's really old and boring. Grandparents are like the most boring people ever."
"Not my grandmother Andromeda. She's got a garden on top of a tree, and she flies around on her broom all day,"
Teddy chirped cheerfully.
"She doesn't like my dad because he's a werewolf and he shagged her sister and her daughter. She told him he better not think about shagging her, and he threw his coffee at her."
"Man, let's go home. I'm bored, dude. I want to go home and find somebody to give the lollipop to."
"No! There's nothing to do there.
Timothy won't stop reading that stupid book. He's making all these charts and stuff to try and figure out who his famous wizard relative is.
What's that you say?
John, who had apparently been distracted by an elderly witch with bright pink robes, turned back to their conversation.
Charts? I can help your young friend with that. I've charted out all the stars in the galaxy and every league of the ocean.
Maybe.
Teddy didn't seem convinced.
I'll show you who he is when you come over. His name's Timothy and he's my best friend. But now he knows he's a wizard too, and so he thinks he's way better than me.
Impossible, the old man sniffed. The Lupins are a very ancient, pure-blood family. Well, other than that muggle grandfather you had,
he scowled.
After your father, the pure-blood is going to die out.
Don't talk about my grandpa Ted,
shrieked Teddy in exasperation.
My dad said he was a lot better than Andromeda. I think he was she got killed in the war and not him. Besides, you sound like a Slytherin talking about pure-blood stuff. Let's go to Harry's,
he turned to Kenny.
It'll be a lot more fun than talking to my grandpa,
he hissed.
No doubt, dude. Does he have any weed, man? No, but he might have fire whiskey.
Teddy hastily told his grandfather goodbye, and they hurried down the street. The old man was muttering something about latitude and longitude.
There's a flu network at Flourish and Blot,
Teddy told him in a practical voice.
They'll let us use it. They love my dad because he buys lots of books from them. And don't say he's boring,
he threatened as Kenny opened his mouth. They hurried into the bookstore, where the proprietor jumped quickly to his feet and beamed at them.
Teddy, got a new dragon book in?
I haven't any money. Can we use your flu?
I'll give it you for free, the man told him desperately. It keeps breathing fire on the other books and burning them up.
Teddy gave him a disdainful look.
No, thank you. I'm already in enough trouble.
He grabbed Kenny's sleeve and pulled him over to the large crackling fireplace.
Hurry up,
he whispered, snatched some green flu powder and flung it into the fireplace.
Number 12, Grimaud Place.
Harry was propped up in his bed, drawing diagrams of Quidditch plays, when he heard the distinct crack from his fireplace down below, followed immediately by an unfamiliar whining voice, and then the sound of Teddy Lupin shouting. He smiled to himself.
You don't have to hang on to me like that! You've knocked me down!
Harry arrived in the den to find Teddy sprawled out on the floor, with a short, skinny, bald muggle stumbling out of the fireplace behind him.
Hello, Teddy, he said cheerfully. Who's your friend?
He isn't my friend,
Teddy glared at him.
He's getting on my last nerve. That's why I came here, so I could talk to somebody normal.
Harry grinned at him. He was Teddy's godfather and found him to be a great deal of fun, and had even babysat for him on occasion.
Well, if I'm normal compared to him, he must be pretty strange. Harry cast Kenny an appraising glance. Are you the bloke that dressed up like a fawn from the wrong books?
Why does everybody keep saying that?
Shrieked Kenny.
Wrong books, wrong books, wrong books. I get it, okay, dude? My brother tells me like 1,000 times a day.
Harry tried with great difficulty to restrain himself from laughing.
Okay, sorry, mate. No need to have a bloody fit about it.
He's so embarrassing,
shouted Teddy.
He's embarrassed me in front of George.
Wow, Harry was impressed. That's pretty embarrassing. Why were we out with him then?
You know you can't go to Hogwarts without an adult if you're an underage wizard. I had to take somebody.
You went to Hogwarts? You should have just owled me, Teddy. I would have taken you there.
Yeah, but I wanted to go in the forest and find my dad. And I knew you wouldn't take me in there.
You're right about that, Harry shuddered. I've had enough of that forest to last me a lifetime. Anyway, it's dangerous. You can't be going in there.
Teddy sat down on the floor and started crying. Harry looked alarmed, but Kenny seemed more irritated than ever.
Got any weed, dude?
He demanded.
You're pretty rude, aren't you? Harry told him mildly. My cousin Dudley had friends like you.
That's the only kind of friends you could get. Stoners. Ha! Teddy smoked it, too!
Harry stared at him, and Kenny, despite his befuddled state of drug intoxication, started to feel a bit nervous.
You gave Teddy weed to smoke?
What if I did, dude?
Kenny sulked.
What are you going to do about it, man?
Harry punched Kenny in the face. Kenny toppled over, and he jumped on him and hit him again. Teddy started squealing with laughter.
What's wrong with you, dude? You're fucking crazy, man!
That was for Lupin, shouted Harry. That's what he'd do if he found out you gave his 6-year-old kid weed, you stupid fucker!
Yeah, well, at least I never blew up my aunt,
shrieked Kenny.
I didn't blow her up, it was an accident!
The
"That's what they all say," mumbled Kenny sulkily. "Man, I need a drink or something."
Harry waved his wand and a platter of butter beer appeared.
"Well, have a drink then," he snapped at Kenny. "Here, Teddy, you have one too," he told him in a much friendlier voice. "What's Lupin doing in the forest?"
"Nobody knows," Teddy responded gloomily. "He's been there for weeks and weeks."
Harry looked mildly concerned.
"Shouldn't someone go check on him?"
"Yes, they should," Teddy jumped up. "You should go check on him, Harry."
Harry looked as if he'd wished he'd kept his mouth shut.
Yeah. I'll send Hagrid an owl. He'll go in there."
This seemed to please Teddy. He started smiling, then yawning, and within 5 minutes was asleep on Harry's large red rug. Harry grinned at him and thought how nice it was to be a kid and just take a nap wherever you wanted, even if it was probably caused by marijuana smoke, but then realized, to his horror, he was now left alone with Kenny.
"So, do you want to go back?" he asked Kenny hopefully. "I can send you back if you want. I'll watch Teddy and bring him home later. Just tell William he's with me. He won't mind."
"No, dude." Kenny had finished his second butter beer and started smiling. "This is kind of cool. I remember this house from the movie."
Harry looked impatient.
"This house wasn't in the movie. It was a replica of the house."
"Whatever, dude. It's the same house. Where's that old lady that yells all the time?"
He stood up and rudely started wandering around, poking into cabinets and drawers.
"Get out of my stuff," snapped Harry. "You're talking about Mrs. Black's portrait, and she doesn't yell anymore. I put a silencing charm on her."
"Man, what the fuck's wrong with you, dude? She was funny, dude. Why'd you do that?"
"Stop, you idiot. You're worse than a Dursley. You're like a Dursley on drugs."
Kenny had fallen on the floor and started cackling.
"Man, you need to chill out, dude. Go fly on your broom or something."
"Shove my broom up your ass, you fucker," thought Harry to himself.
"What do you got to eat, man?"
Kenny wandered into the kitchen and started opening up cupboards.
"Fucking starving, dude. You're not very polite, man. You're supposed to offer people food when you invite them in your house, dude."
"I didn't invite you to my house," Harry shouted.
"How does that snipe fellow not kill you?"
Kenny shrugged.
"Me and Quentin? Just lucky, I guess. He beat me up like a million times."
"God," Harry responded rudely. "Here, you can eat this old fruitcake from Christmas. Well, he's got it enchanted, so I can't throw it away."
He threw it across the kitchen in disgust.
"Thanks, man!"
Kenny beamed with delight and dove into the months-old rock-hard fruitcake, and Harry made a grimace. Kenny and Teddy appeared at the dinner table in quite sulky moods indeed. Teddy was never pleasant when awoken from a nap, and Kenny was angry that he hadn't seen a giant spider or gotten shagged.
"Where have you been?" shouted William at Teddy. "You scare me to death. You're supposed to stay right here, and you know it. Why's your hair striped?"
"Peeves put a zebra curse on me," Teddy replied solemnly. "Makes your hair striped."
"I never heard of a zebra curse."
"Well, you don't know. You don't know anything about curses."
William decided this was probably true.
"Well, what are you doing at Hogwarts anyway? I told you not to go there, especially with Kenny."
"Why is this so important to you?"
replied Teddy loftily, and Quentin burst out laughing.
"It's not funny. Don't answer a question with a question."
"After Hogwarts,"
Teddy now had apparently decided to ignore the question,
"we went to Hogsmeade and then to Harry's, and Kenny was really embarrassing and Harry hit him 2 times.
"Really?"
William was quite interested in this, as was the rest of the table.
"Why'd he hit you?"
he whirled on Kenny.
"What did you do?" "Dunno,"
shrugged Kenny, who'd actually forgotten.
"Well, he's got a bad temper, dude." "He does not. If he hit you, I know you deserved it."
"He was so embarrassing!"
shrieked Teddy, realizing he probably didn't want the subject of why Harry hit Kenny explored further. Jamie and Rosie exchanged knowing grins.
"What was so embarrassing about him?"
Rosie asked.
"He tried to steal stuff from George, and he was scared of Sir Cadogan, and he talked about the fat lady's arse, and he got a cauldron stuck on his big, dumb, bald head."
Jamie and Rosie hooted with laughter.
"Well, you should have asked us, Teddy. We could have told you what going out with Kenny is like."
Rosie smiled at him.
"It was horrible,"
wailed Teddy, whose hair no longer striped had turned blacker than pitch.
"It was a horrible day, and I saw my Grandpa John, and now he's coming over for dinner."
"What?" snapped Quentin. "Who the hell did you invite over for dinner?"
"My great-great-great-grandpa. He's been trying to find us, and he's mad at my dad."
"Well, this will be fun," muttered Quentin. "Don't suppose your father's ever told you it's rude to invite someone to someone else's house?"
"Don't shout at him," wailed Rosie, Elizabeth, and Solange together, and Teddy started bawling again.
All right, Teddy, I suppose it's okay. Just this once.
Quinn sighed and felt rather badly. What if Lupin doesn't come out of that fucking forest, he thought, and this poor kid's an orphan? Besides, he certainly was never as bad as Jamie had been, and unlike Timothy, did not interfere with shagging plans by wailing for his mother at inopportune moments. Kenny was grinning at Loretta, who was sharpening something that looked suspiciously like an ice pick.
Hey, Loretta, I bought you a lollipop.
Loretta eyed him with her crazed glare.
Why would you do that? Nobody cares about me. I'm just the one everyone picks on, and crazy people read my brain and make up lies about me, and nobody cares!
She began bawling.
Well, I do,
Kenny said in a falsely pained voice, and Henry rolled his eyes. It's one of those lollipops make you want to fuck somebody, he told her calmly. He just wants some ass, that's all.
Shut up, dude! I fucking hate you, man!
Shut up yourself, yawned Henry. It's not my fault you can't get laid. Maybe if you'd wash your dick once in a while.
I do, man! It smells like that anyway!
Henry just sighed.
I hate my fucking brother, he said to Victor conversationally. If he was so bloody loud...
Victor was holding his head with a pained expression, but didn't finish his sentence when there was a loud crack and Lupin appeared in the room, covered in dust and dirt, and looking as if he hadn't slept in a week.
Dad!
Shrieked Teddy joyfully and flung himself into his arms.